From a zero problem foreign policy with its neighbours to plenty of problems with its neighbours, this description in the eyes of many analysts reflects relations between Turkey and its two important neighbours, Syria and Iraq. Ankara is accused of fueling tension in Syria and Iraq and warming up with Israel, where interests are shared with Washington and Tel Aviv. Has the policy of zero tension with neighbours gone all wrong? I'm Homa Lezgi, and this is The Debate.
In Turkey's southern city of Antakya, close to the border with Syria, protesters gather in a show of support for the Syrian leadership and people in a war that's been launched against them. The protesters denounce Turkey's ruling party for fueling the war in Syria. Ankara has been supporting the armed insurgents in their fight against Damascus. Turkey's borders have turned into a hub for sending militants and weapons into Syria, a process which has been aided and abetted by Saudi Arabia, Qatar, the U.S., and the European Union. Turkey has also hosted several gatherings attended by the self-proclaimed Syrian opposition and Western and regional countries. But Turkey's interference in its neighbors' affairs is not limited to Syria. In 2012, Iraq accused Ankara of meddling in its internal affairs when Turkish Foreign Minister Ahmet Davutoğlu visited the northern city of Kirkuk. What angered Baghdad was Ankara's attempt to bypass the central government by directly sealing oil deals with the Kurdish regional government. The two neighbors' relations was dealt another blow when Turkey sheltered Iraq's fugitive vice president Tariq al-Hashemi, who was convicted of running death squads in Iraq. Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan assured Hashemi that he will not be handed over to Baghdad. In 2002, Turkey's AKP party took the helm with the motto of policy of zero problems with neighbors. But it seems that the party's top brass has backtracked on its own words. Critics say they have resorted to another policy that's stemming from the country's past, the Ottoman Empire. In his book, Strategic Depth, Ahmet Davutoğlu, the Turkish foreign minister, says,
"The lands dominated by Ottoman culture are a strategic depth."
That's what the Syrian president Bashar al-Assad says, but in another way.
Only arrogant government. Only, just to be precise, not the Turkish people. Turkish people need good relation with the Syrian people. This is Erdogan. He thinks that he's the new Sultan of the Ottoman, and he can control the region as it was during the Ottoman Empire under a different, let's say, umbrella. But in his heart, he thinks that he's Khalifa maybe.
You're watching The Debate. Let's introduce our guests for you. With us live from New York is author and emeritus professor of Binghamton University of New York, Mr. James Petrus, and also with us live from Ankara, professor of international relations with the Middle East University, Mr. Hossein Bakci. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for being with us on this edition of The Debate. My first question to Mr. James Petrus in the United States. Now, we'll first of all refer to Turkey's role in Syria. Mr. Petrus, besides accusing Turkey of harboring al-Qaeda-linked terrorists, Damascus also says Ankara is blocking measures for a political solution by pressuring Syrian opposition members. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think Turkey has played a very essential role for the NATO powers because it has offered sanctuary support for the armed insurgents. It's developed ties with the fundamentalists who now dominate all of the territories that have been captured by these radical armed extremists. So I think you have to understand Turkey's behavior as an instrument of NATO, first of all. Secondly, the fact that it has its own colonial ambitions in the region. It is dominating the market in northern Iraq in particular. It has played a formidable role in expanding commercial and business interests in the Middle East. It's developing ties with the Muslim Brotherhood government in Egypt. I think one has to see this in a broader context. Mm-hmm. One, Turkey is playing a role with NATO in trying to undermine any nationalist government. It is working with Israel surreptitiously, even as it claims to support the rights of the Palestinians.
Yes.
And most of all, I think in Syria, it has become the most decisive point of operation for the radical fundamentalists who are receiving full-scale support. And that's why I think many Turks are opposed to this policy in Syria, because they see that the Erdogan government is much less secular than it claims.
Well, Ms. Petros, you referred that, if I can just stop you there, let's just bring in Mr. Bakhti into the discussion as well and have his views heard before we move on. Now, Mr. Bakhti, if you can hear me, we had there our guest in New York telling us that Turkey is acting as an instrument for NATO on one part of the story, and the other part of the story is its interests. As far as its interests are concerned, it's now taking moves that are being seen by a lot of people as supporting, for instance, what I guess they were saying, radical extremists in Syria. What's your opinion? Okay, it looks like we've lost our connection there with Mr. Bakhti. We'll try to bring him back, though, just as soon as we can. Back to our guest in New York, Ms. Petros. Now, you were saying if Turkey's interests are involved, it's going to do actually what it has to do, even if it involves having the same interests with Israel and taking measures in line with Israel. But do you think Turkey is going to go as far as, if it comes to that occasion, launching direct military attack on Syria?
I think Turkey will attack Syria as part of a joint operation with the NATO countries. They are waiting for England, France, and the United States to engage in an air war, an open skies policies, which they used in Libya, to try to undermine the strategic advantage of Syria. I don't think Erdogan will go in by himself. I think that would be too blatant. Mm-hmm. It would lack the support inside of Turkey. It would provoke a national movement inside of Syria. So I think that Erdogan is waiting to get some kind of a multilateral cover. Meantime, he's doing everything short of sending the troops in, supplying arms, trainers, professionals that are working with the insurgents, training them.
So basically, you're saying here that Turkey would even go as far as launching that military strike. But even right now that it hasn't, as you say, that it is, however, working behind the scenes in supporting the insurgents. A lot of analysts have been saying that this involvement will in itself backfire by putting Ankara, for instance, at risk of a new series of violent confrontations with its minority Kurdish population. We know the PKK has been voicing solidarity at times with the Syrian Kurds, and it says it's going to launch violent reprisals if, for instance, Turkish forces target the Kurdish community in Syria. So do you think it will, in the long run, affect Turkey's strategic interests or even its national security?
Well, I think that Turkey, the Erdogan government, faces a very formidable internal opposition to an engagement, a military engagement in Syria, because it'll clearly be seen as taking part with fundamentalists and will deepen the ties between a religious party and the state, which is anathema to all those Turks that uphold the Ataturk tradition. And I think that this is a very dangerous game, and it's seen as such by important sectors of the Turkish military, as well as many progressive people in Turkey. So I think the main danger here is that provokes and deepens internal divisions in Turkey by turning Turkey more and more toward an embrace with fundamentalist Muslims who are really an enemy of a secular state.
Okay, I'd like to go now to the role that Turkey is playing also in Iraq. But just before that, let's bring in a comment that's been posted on our Facebook page by one of our viewers. Let's see what our viewers have had to say about this issue, and we'll be back.
It's all about who can control the Middle East and Muslims, money and power. In reality, Turkey is a very big friend of the Zionist state Israel. Previously, it was an open relationship. Now it's a more dangerous relationship because it's more under the table. It plays with the Middle East and Muslims' feelings, and that's what makes it more dangerous. Allah knoweth best.
That view and a lot of similar views like that being posted on our Facebook page today regarding this debate program, and that is how Turkey is prepared to work with Israel or the United States when it comes to its role in the region. But before I come to that aspect, Ms. Petros, we know that Turkey has been signing oil contracts, talking about the oil deals with the Kurdistan regional government in Iraq. Do you think it is deliberately trying to undermine the Maliki government by doing this? I mean, the Iraqi central government has been saying that these deals would deprive it of oil revenues that belong to Iraq as a whole. Some analysts have been saying that while Turkey is doing the deals on one side, on the other side, it is trying to say that we are kind of trying to keep our alliance strong with the Baghdad government as well.
I'm not sure about the larger goals of Turkey involving itself in the whole of Iraq. I think its purpose at this time is to penetrate northern Iraq, especially the areas where the U.S. overflights protect the Kurdish entity, which is calling for a independent status. I think in that region, Turkey is certainly establishing itself as the dominant economic group, and I think it wants to consolidate its resource influence and control, and it certainly sees this as a jumping-off spot into Central Asia. I think this kind of expansionism is incremental. It's not going to be one jump and take it all. I think they're going to be chipping away at different regions. They're chipping away in Syria, they're chipping away in Iraq. They have wider ambitions throughout this region. And I think this is the strategy. They're gaining influence in Egypt through the Morsi regime. They're trying to expand into Tunisia. But I think these are very step-by-step operations. We can't see this as one big jump from a relatively isolated position into a major kind of colonial or neo-colonial power. Well, I don't see that.
Let's just refer here to a comment that's been made by Mr. Erdogan himself. He's been telling, for instance, CNN Turk in one interview, and I'm quoting him here, that under Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, there is no real unity in Iraq. He's also said earlier that the Maliki administration, for instance, is a minority government. We've seen demonstrators even who are against Maliki carrying his pictures. And Maliki has been saying recently after these violent bombings in Iraq that Turkey is working alongside Qatar and Saudi Arabia to undermine his government using sectarian violence as a tool. Now, do you think that is the case? I mean, is Turkey going as far as creating this sectarian violence as Maliki claims?
Well, I think it's a bit of an exaggeration. The CIA was in Iraq way earlier than the Turks. It's possible and politically plausible that the Turks are encouraging these bombings with the Saudis, but I think the larger picture is that the U.S. has been alternating, supporting Shia and supporting Sunnis, depending on the moment in time. When they were invading Iraq, they supported the Shias against Saddam Hussein. Once the Shias gained ascendancy and began to develop a policy of openness to Iran and openness to China, and openness to Russia, the U.S. switched sides and began to support the Sunnis and even elements of al-Qaeda that are associated with the Sunnis the U.S. doesn't have any strategic ties to either group. They have strategic interests, and the interests here are to maximize their influence and control over these formerly independent regimes.
Yeah. Well, I'd just like to remind our viewers that we did have a guest with us from Ankara. Unfortunately, it looks like we haven't still been able to rectify that problem that we had with his connection. We will, of course, try our best to bring him into the conversation if we can. But just for a short break here, let's take a listen to one of our Facebook comments again, and we'll be back with the next question.
Turkey provides a route for liberal democracy for Muslims and wants to be introduced as a hero in the Muslim world.
Now, that, of course, being the focal point of this debate, Turkey saying initially, Ms. Petros, that it is following a policy of zero problems. Right now, it looks like this isn't the case. Now, the question would be why this went wrong. Do you think that it was Turkey basically because of its alliance with NATO or because of its wishes to get itself into the European Union, whatever, had to basically follow the policies of Washington and Tel Aviv here? Or do you think that at some point of time there was a change in priorities?
I think that it's an incremental process. Let's not forget that Erdogan and his party were recent arrivals to power. They had to justify themselves as a government respecting the Ataturk tradition, so they couldn't openly declare their religious basis of their politics. Now, it's a religious neoliberal political movement. It's not a traditionalist Muslim movement. It is one that embraces neoliberal capitalism, and it uses its religion to build its mass base to complement that economic policies. And as a result of that, it has built bridges with more conservative Muslim groups, and these groups are currently under siege in Bahrain, in the Emirates, in Saudi Arabia, and even in Egypt today. So one has to say this, that it's not simply Erdogan building bridges or becoming a hero of Muslims. He's hated by many Muslims who don't support his allies in these very conservative Gulf states and in Egypt. The great majority of the demonstrators today are opposed to Morsi and indirectly opposed to Erdogan, the democracy movements.
Yeah, Mr. Petros, sorry for jumping here, because along the lines that you're just mentioning there, we have a comment that could be viewed as a question on this issue. Let's take a look at this final comment now on our Facebook page, and I'll be back with the question related to it.
The EU is shaky, and Ankara is playing right into the designs of the Wahhabi Zionists. Ankara must act wisely.
A call there by one of our viewers for Ankara to act wisely. You referred there, Ms. Petros, to the opposition in Turkey. There have been similar calls, and a lot of people have been saying that before this, the United States did have some kind of a grip in the region, but the wave of the popular uprisings changed a lot, and the United States was losing its grip over the fate of the Middle East. And this actually had contributed to Turkey's important role as a regional player, even an influential player in the Islamic world. And a lot of people are saying that's why the United States actually intervened to change that. Now, do you think that Turkey, as our viewer there was suggesting, is actually caught in a trap of some sort?
Well, I don't think Turkey's in a trap. I think that Erdogan is very conscious and very deliberate in each one of his moves. The fact that he's moved in to northern Iraq, working with the Kurds, at the same time that they're shooting and repressing Kurds in eastern Turkey. signs agreement with Öcalan at the same time that Turkey is attempting to gain influence among the Kurds in northern Syria. So I think they're playing a very clever game of divide and conquer. And I don't think there's any manipulation. Erdogan is very aware of the Wahhabis and their brand of Muslim politics, their kind of capitalism, rentier capitalism. I think these are temporary working relationships in which Turkey basically is trying to assert its own hegemony and sharing power with Israel and the United States and the European Union. It's not looking to oust them. It just wants to get its share of power and oil wealth and markets in this region.
So, Mr. Petros, just as the concluding question here before we end the show, that is, a lot of analysts have been suggesting that from the time that Turkey decided to reconcile with Israel and to resume ties with Israel, this is starting to change the balance of power right now between Turkey and its neighbors, specifically Iraq and Syria. Do you think this is the start of a process?
Well, let's be very clear. Israel is a dominant military power. It has nuclear weapons. Turkey doesn't. Israel gets $3 billion plus from the United States. Turkey gets nothing. Israel goes to war with Iran, the United States automatically jumps in. These give Israel a very important role, militarist role, as a collaborator of Western expansionism. Turkey is a dominant group with activities regarding Syria and Iraq, and it plays a very important role in relation to those two countries, specifically in fomenting the overthrow of Assad and in and the annexation or separation of northern Iraq from the rest of the country. That's where its power lies. It's not a country which can act throughout the region independently of the U.S. and Israel.
James Petros, author and emeritus professor of Binghamton University, with us there from New York. Thank you very much, Ms. Petros, for being with us. I do apologize for the technical problem. We had our guest in Ankara, Professor Hossein Bakshi, couldn't be with us on this debate. Thank you very much for staying with us. From Mihomar Lezgi, until our next program, it's goodbye.